Welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me in studio is the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we get the opportunity to answer some more questions from our listeners, and I know you really enjoy doing that.
I do, Dave, and it's always helpful for me. It keeps me sharp. It keeps me understanding the kind of things we need to be addressing on this program. And I find that our listeners enjoy hearing other people's questions as well. It kind of helps them identify that they're not the only one that has problems.
Well, definitely. And certainly today we have a wide variety of questions from our listeners. And I think we're going to test your brain power today, and we're going to give you a little more complex one to begin with.
Well, I know this first one is about an inheritance issue. And yes. Anytime you get into inheritance issues, Dave, it is very emotionally charged. Besides being technically complex, it can be a real emotional issue in families.
It certainly can. And Chuck, because of the complexity of this question, let's break it down and take it piece by piece. The first part of her question is, she says, I love my family very much, but to be perfectly honest, although a Christian and a lovely gentleman, my oldest brother lives what I consider a less godly life than he should, in working only now and then when needed, going through job after job and relying heavily on governmental subsidies. And she goes on to say later in the question that he's very interested in gaining the inheritance from their parents.
Well, I think that one is very clear, Dave, because the Bible speaks, in my opinion, very directly to that issue. Paul issued a principle in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and he said, if a man does not work, he should not eat. Now, I think what Paul meant by that is he was saying that we should not take on the role of caretakers of those who are not willing to work if they're able to do so. Mm. Now, obviously, we should be generous and care for those who can't work. But if you're able to work but unwilling to work, it's not our responsibility to provide care for them. They need to be motivated by the hunger that they have or will experience to go out and work. It's best for everyone. So I think that applies to the issue of inheritance. An inheritance should not enable a person to stop working. So I would advise your parents to avoid supporting the family member who won't work, whether it's by means of transferring his inheritance to him directly before they die or providing for him in the will after they die. Either way, I don't think they're called to be underwriters of his lifestyle.
Chuck, we need to take a quick break, but when we get back, let's continue our answer to this question. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We're answering your questions today. And by the way, if you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can do that by emailing him at chuckbentley@crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, @crown.org. And Chuck, before the break, we were answering a question, a fairly complex question from a listener who has an inheritance question and is wrestling with what the right thing to do is. And the second part of her question is one that I don't hear very often. I've read it in scripture, but I've not seen it expressed in modern culture. And she says that she believes that the eldest son should get the entire inheritance. I guess the first question would be, is that a biblical mandate that you see from scripture?
No, not at all, Dave. I think it was traditional tradition throughout the Old Testament. But when you look at the New Testament and you see the story of the prodigal son, he demanded his inheritance, and it was different from his brother's inheritance. So he only received a portion of his father's estate, not the entire estate. So I don't know where that comes from. I think that it's probably just based on some tradition that she's heard about.
Well, if it's not necessarily biblical that the inheritance automatically goes to the oldest male child, then how do you go about, and I'm sure her question really is, how do I go about helping my parents make a wise decision with their inheritance?
Well, if we want to be completely biblical about it, she may consider drawing lots, because so often in the scripture, people drew lots. In fact, in Numbers 26, they talk about a process as land was being divided among the Israelites between large groups and small groups, that they were able to choose the land by the drawing of lots. Now, most people don't want to do that anymore, Dave, and we're a lot more pragmatic than that, and we want to have a sense of control over these kind of decisions, and I think that's a good thing. I really believe Ron Blue gives some of the best advice on this topic. He's one of the leading Christian financial advisors in the country. He's full of God's wisdom. And here's what he says, that an inheritance should not be transferred to any child who has no wisdom. Now, that's pretty straightforward. But if you stand back and take the emotion out of it, the Bible says if we're fools, that having more money is not going to make us wise. We don't get less foolish if we have resources. So he has a little axiom or a saying that goes like this. Wisdom must be demonstrated before wealth is transferred. Now, I don't know about you, Dave, but if that were my family's policy, I would be interested in, okay, where do I get that wisdom that you're talking about? I think it would get my undivided attention. Instead of just assuming that I'm going to automatically get mom and dad's life estate just because I'm a member of the family, I don't think that's right. I think Ron is on to something there. Now, it upsets people to think that they might give some of their children different distributions of their estate than the others, that it wouldn't be equally divided. But if you're going to live by that principle, which I think is a biblical principle, then they're not all going to get the same. So I don't believe the Bible says that all children must receive an inheritance and that it must be equal. We do know the scripture teaches us that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. There's some implication there that it may be that the inheritance should actually go to the grandkids and not directly to the kids. Either way, there's no place that I think it says it's got to be equal. So I would not give in to the demands of the brother who wants his inheritance because he's unwilling to work and he's demonstrating foolishness. Also, Ron Blue's written a very good book about this called Splitting Heirs, H-E-I-R-S. And for those of you who are dealing with this issue, I highly recommend you pick up Ron's book. We carry it. You can order it through crown.org, and it will go into some depth on how to properly set up your estate and to divide your inheritance.
Chuck, the third part of her question gets into the more financial and mechanical portion of the inheritance itself. And she writes, I think my parents should look into a reverse mortgage, get the money in their lifetime for their home, and enjoy their lives to the fullest extent possible. Admittedly, I know nothing about reverse mortgages other than I thought they sounded like a terrible thing when I first heard about them. But now I wonder.
Well, in general, I think it's best to avoid a reverse mortgage. I've looked into them, I've studied them to some degree, and I think that there are other ways to solve the problem or to find the resources for your parents to live on that it's far better than involving their homestead. One option, and I think is better and cleaner, is just to sell the house, move into a smaller home or maybe even a rental, and then cover the expenses of that property with the money you made from the sale of the house, and then manage the cash really well. That way you can completely avoid some of the traps that are inherent in a few of the instruments involving a reverse mortgage. But if you think you need to do a reverse mortgage, follow God's wisdom and get lots of counsel about it. Inform yourself. I would recommend legal counsel before you ever got into one of those instruments. Don't take the salesman's advice. Don't listen to their counsel only. Learn as much as you can. There's some good information on websites like HUD.gov, FTC.gov, and AARP has a lot of good information about reverse mortgages. Just help your parents to make a very wise decision. The better choice is to sell the house and manage the cash. The second choice would be to investigate a reverse mortgage if they don't want to move. And that will possibly solve the whole issue of the inheritance that you're wrestling with, because basically your parents will be able to live on their primary asset, which is their equity in their home, and the children won't have access to it.
Chuck, our next question deals with tithing. And the listener writes, we've been closely involved with missions in our church and have led 3 mission teams to a foreign country. There's always a tremendous blessing from going and completing a project and conducting VBS. The question is it biblical to use a portion of your tithe to fund your family's personal mission trip expenses paid through the church as a member of the team, or should this money strictly be an offering to God above what we give as a tithe?
You know, Dave, since we have so little time left, I'm going to let you answer that question.
No. We'll be back in a moment.
You know, we're getting some tough questions today, Dave. The whole complex question about inheritance, reverse mortgages, and now one about tithing. But I'm going to give a straightforward answer to this question. No, I don't think using money you normally tithe on should be used for the mission trip, because I think the spirit of the tithe is that there's no personal benefit exchanged for the giving. I think you could argue it either way because you're helping bless those in the body of Christ, but I believe the spirit of it is that money belongs to the church to use at their discretion, and you need to come up with another way to fund your mission trip. I've heard the same argument used in regard to Christian school tuition. I don't think that's the tithe either. So that's my position, and I do believe if you ask the Lord, He'll provide for that trip in another way.
Well, if you'd like to hear this program again, you can do that by going online at crown.org. And while you're there, you can sign up for the Money Life podcast. It's free, and it only takes a few minutes. Again, that's all at crown.org. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We're answering your questions today. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we're answering your questions today. And by the way, if you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can do that by writing him at Chuck Bentley at crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley at crown.org. Chuck, our next question comes from a gentleman who is 26 years old. He's married. He and his wife are in a very good financial position, and he's conflicted a bit about taking a job that will pay him more. And his question is, do you feel it's greedy to intentionally want to make money to provide a better standard of living for my wife and newborn son? We're doing well financially, but we both feel we could help many more people and provide a better standard of living for our family. Is this greedy? And how do we balance wanting a better quality or caliber of life for the family and not be greedy?
Well, the spirit is so wonderful behind your question. You did mention to me in some detail in the email that you have an opportunity to go from $35,000 a year to $50,000 a year. And I think if I polled the audience right now, they would all say, two thumbs up, go make some more money, take care of your wife and that little baby. But, you know, the question you ask is really one of motive. And those can only be determined in your own heart as you put them before the Lord. And my view is that you have two very proper motivations to take the new job and increase your income. Number one, you're qualified for the job, and you've said that you'll enjoy the work, and that's really good stewardship of your own skills and talents. So I think there's a match in terms of proper motive right there. And then secondly, you'll improve your ability to provide for your growing family. Now, those are excellent reasons, excellent motives to increase your income. You express that you're already tithing on the income that you have and that you intend to continue to tithe on any increase in your income. So I don't sense one ounce of greed in your thought process at all. So let me know what the Lord leads you to do, but I think you have a big, bright green light. Go for it.
Well, Chuck, this next question has at its root an issue that many couples face all the time. She writes, I've been married for 12 years. My husband and I have always had separate checking accounts. He pays certain things, and I pay for certain things. We both tithe faithfully and love the Lord. Prior to getting married, I was single for 6 years with 2 kids. I never wanted to combine our finances. However, my husband has always wanted to. I just couldn't do it. What do you think about this? Is it okay to keep things separate? I've struggled with this for years, if it's right or wrong, and we really need to know a biblical perspective.
I believe it's best to combine your incomes into a single account. I think it's going to demonstrate trust and unity and significantly help your marriage. Now, at the same time, if you're better at managing the finances in your household, then while you agree to combine the accounts, you might also ask if you can have supervision or some oversight of this combined bank account. And also, if you prefer to have a small account with just a little monthly allowance of money that you consider yours, that it's totally for your discretionary spending, well, I think that's okay as well. But overall, it's best for the two to become one in every aspect of your marriage. I understand your fear. I understand why you would want to withhold it, but I think it will make a huge difference to your husband. Just let him know that it's a hard decision, and you're trusting the Lord with this decision, and you're also trusting him, and let me know how it works out for you.
Chuck, do we have any resources that we could offer to this listener or other listeners who are facing the same situation?
Well, absolutely, Dave. Howard Dayton, our co-founder, just released his new book. It's called Money and Marriage, God's Way. He applied himself specifically to this topic because of all the pain that he's seen through the years. And I'll tell you before you buy the book that it's excellent. It's excellent because you understand that you're not trying to agree with your spouse's financial plan. You both can agree with God's financial plan for your life. And when you do that, it's much easier for the two to become one. Howard's got some very practical tips in his book, and I highly recommend that you pick it up, especially if you're feeling any kind of pain or discomfort in this area of your life.
Chuck, we often get questions here from listeners who are interested in making a job change or a career change. And certainly with the economy where it is right now, many people are being forced to make a change just because their jobs are going away. This particular listener doesn't have that issue. His job is actually quite secure. He's a school teacher. But as he writes here, he says that his job as a teacher in a public school has introduced significant chronic stress in the lives of he and his wife. And the question he's wrestling with, Chuck, is what options are there? What suggestions would you have for him to either reduce that stress or come up with an alternative plan?
Well, obviously, he's taught school for over 20 years, and he loves to teach. And I think that's an innate gift with some people. I watch great teachers, and they're just phenomenal. And it's so rewarding. So as I think about your situation, and I can certainly sympathize with the problems that you're having with stress, I think you ought to consider staying in the field of educating others. Now, there's a whole lot of ways you can use that gift or that talent. One of them is to become a private tutor and take in students and teach them one-on-one, or use your tutoring skills to contract out as a private tutor for a company that does the marketing and booking for tutors. So there's a lot of ways you can use that skill. Now, if you prefer to start a business, there are businesses and in fact, franchises that sell a complete package to start a tutoring business. That's where you help place the students with the appropriate private tutors for whatever it is that they're needing to learn. So you can either be a tutor or you can start a business that places tutors. And I think that would leverage your skills and your gifts. Now, let me say this. It's going to be a different kind of stress. Whether you're a private tutor or running your own business, you're not going to get away from stress. And the most direct way that I know to deal with stress is to do what the Bible recommends, and that is to cast your cares upon the Lord. When I'm under a lot of pressure and I'm feeling tremendous stress, I literally stop and I say, Lord, the burden's too heavy for me. I'm casting it your direction, and I'm going to trust you to help me through this so that I don't feel the grind and the weight of the burden of it. I recommend you put that into practice, whether you stay in the public school or you start your own business.
Well, that's good advice. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, earlier in the program, we answered a question regarding inheritance, and you have a further thought on that subject.
Well, there were two issues that I really felt like I needed to mention before we got off that topic, Dave. Number one is that there's much more to inheritance than money and possessions. As you think about all the things that we leave as our legacy and pass on to our children or our grandchildren, I think we think too narrowly on that topic. We tend to think only in terms of tangible possessions, but there's so many intangible things. And while one person may not receive any tangible assets in the transfer of an estate, it's important that everyone in your family and in your life receives equal amounts of love. I think that's a big part of all of our inheritance. And I didn't want anybody to think that I was recommending that because someone might be foolish and not receive money in an inheritance, that they should not be loved. The second point I wanted to make is that we all have a will, whether you have a will or not. And what I mean by that is many people have never taken the time to actually complete their last will and testament, put it in writing, have it witnessed, and have it in a place where other people can find it. If you haven't done that, your will is one that the state or the government has written for you. So I highly recommend, if you've been listening to the program today, go through the exercise to complete a will, whether you're young or you're old. It doesn't matter. Ann and I have had a will since we were first married, and it's dealt with all the key issues in our life, particularly who would take care of our children and how would their futures be funded. That's been in place, so I've never had to be concerned about that, and I highly recommend that all of our listeners have a will that you've completed.
Chuck, as we head into the summer months, it is typically very lean financial time here at Crown Financial Ministries, and yet the expenses of running this ministry still continue to go on.
Dave, we've been on the air over 20 years. We did a survey about 5 years ago among our listeners, and many of them had no idea that we were a listener-supported ministry, that we were actually able to be on the air because our listeners made contributions, and we were shocked that they didn't know that. So I want to be sure our listeners know that we exist. We're here because you participate as a financial partner. The summer months are very, very important to us. And I would say the summer of 2009 may be one of the most important summers in our entire history. It's going to be a tough summer. The economy's tougher than it's ever been. And we need those who love us, those who love this work and want to participate in helping other people in this very practical area to join us this summer. Make a gift in June, July, and August, all 3 months, if at all possible.
If you'd like to send a gift to Crown Financial Ministries, you can do that by calling toll-free 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976. Or you can donate directly online at crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.